Hi, welcome to the 40th Res Ed podcast produced by Media Snackers with Global Kids. Coming up is Rick chatting to a couple of people about World of Warcraft, and I'm chatting to Jim Bauer, who is one of the co-founders of Wyville, about their partnership with Dell. As ever, we'll kick off with the news and events from the Global Kids guys.
Hey everyone, this is Amira.
This is Rick.
And we're here for your Res Ed news. First up, welcome back to a new school year. Hoping that everybody had a great summer and is feeling recharged. And from all of us here at Res Ed, just hoping that all of your new school years are off to a great start. Let you know a few things that are going on as far as the Res Ed community. We're working on our upcoming Res Ed report. This will be the third report, and this one's going to center around the Res Ed conference that we had last June. It's going to be a great document, so be on the lookout for that this fall. Also, Res Ed is hiring a communications intern. So if you are in the New York City area listening right now and you are a undergrad or a graduate student looking for some internship experience this year, go ahead and send an email over to info@globalkids.org. That job posting is going to be on the Res Ed site today, and we'll be looking for applications in the next few weeks. We'll get back to some more Res Ed updates in just a second. Here's Rick on Small Worlds.
So if you've been to the Res Ed site recently in the past week or so, you might have noticed a new application that's supported. This is actually a huge rollout across all Ning networks. Res Ed runs on the Ning network. And Ning announced about a week ago that they are partnering with all these other content providers, including One Virtual World, Small Worlds, which I think we've talked about a little bit in the past. Now, anyone in Res Ed can very quickly get into Small Worlds and log into this virtual world. It's a web-based virtual world. Interact with other Res Ed community members and other people who are in that world. We've actually created just a little prototype space that has a lot of Res Ed resources in it, so you can see some things you've been doing in Small Worlds. They're going to be rolling out a lot more features, so we're hoping to be experimenting with Small Worlds as another way for you as educators to be connecting with each other, connecting with young people, and connecting with other people around the world who are interested in these subjects. So definitely keep an eye on Res Ed and see how we can be integrating our social network with our virtual world work.
Also related to Res Ed, we're really excited to announce that the MacArthur Foundation is continuing to support Global Kids in its exploration of virtual worlds. So this most recent grant is not only going to partially support Res Ed, but it's going to allow Global Kids to further its educational initiatives. And there's going to be more details that we post on that, but just be on the lookout. So while we're super excited with the MacArthur support for Res Ed, we are still looking for additional support from other foundations and supporters, just so we can continue these podcasts and other related production aspects of Res Ed. So if you know of potential sponsorship, go ahead and send us a message. We're definitely on the lookout for that.
And lastly, this is pretty big. The University of Texas, the entire system, the entire statewide system, has announced that they are rolling out all 16 of their campuses having a presence in Second Life. So it sounds like they're going to have like 50 plus sims full of interesting content, doing all sorts of distance learning experiments, all sorts of ways to integrate all their different multidisciplinary approaches into Second Life. So each campus will be developing a Second Life project over the next year or so. Throughout the project, evidence-based research data will be collected and shared with the Second Life education community on best practices to offer to all educators and other similar organizations that are interested in holding classes and building campuses in Second Life. So definitely something to keep an eye out. The first time we've seen this complete statewide rollout of an entire university system within Second Life. So definitely this is a growing field that shows a lot of the potential for this space.
And I think with that, they're going to make a point to take all their evidence-based research and collect it and share it with the educational community. So that'll be good for all of us that are kind of thinking about maybe holding classes or building campuses in Second Life. That information will be made available to all of us. So that's it for the Res Ed news. If you have things that you'd like us to post on upcoming podcasts or on the site, go ahead and send that over to resedinfo@globalkids.org. We'll make a point to promote that.
I'm Jim Bauer. I'm the CVO, or Chief Visionary Officer, for Numidian Incorporated, which runs Wyville.net. I'm also one of the founders of Wyville.net 10 years ago, and I'm Super ID in Wyville, for any kids that are listening.
Brilliant. Well, it's great to have you with us, Jim. We're going to talk to you about today about the new partnership that's happened between you guys being Wyville and Dell. So give us an overview of what that actually is, please.
Absolutely. So we are now partners with Dell in providing content to or on a new device, which is a mini notebook that's being sold or promoted for kids in our age group. In other words, kids 8 to 14. The device itself is a full-fledged computer, and Wyville now shows up on the desktop as an animated icon, or an animicon, as we call it, which kids can click on and immediately be transported into Wyville, actually into the Dell Plaza, which is a new space in Wyville, which we are co-designing with Dell around issues of environment, issues of everything having to do with how you build computers, etc. So we're very excited about this project.
I can imagine. So tell us, do you think this investment then, or this partnership, kind of serves as a bigger indication of the commercial sector agents, you know, brands, understanding more the relevance of virtual worlds then?
I think so. I would actually put it in a slightly larger context. Dell and also Walmart, who is part of this partnership in addition, in talking to their executives when they approached us, basically saying, you know, why are you interested in us? The answer was twofold. One, you know, they are aware that kids are much more actively engaged with seeking, their own information on the internet, more actively involved in these kinds of spaces, and they were very interested in understanding more about that, and partnering with us would help them to understand that. The second thing that they know from their increasing interaction, again, through the internet with mothers, is that mothers care a lot about education and learning for their kids. That's not a big surprise. But they're also aware that mothers are looking at the internet as a place where their kids are learning, and they're looking at spaces like Wyville as a place that can sort of help manage and coordinate and drive that learning. And Dell and Walmart actually were equally interested in Wyville's ability to do that. So I think that this, you know, the partnership reflects a growing awareness in industry, in media, and especially in marketing and you know, the design or computer companies and others, that these kids are different. They're using the internet in new and different ways, and virtual worlds are one of the ways in which they're using the internet. They're curious about it and think there's a big opportunity for reaching kids.
So do you think this is maybe the first step that we're seeing commercial agents really populate in this space a lot more, or at least understanding or trying to understand it? What other opportunities do you think are available to those?
I do think that you're starting to see an increased understanding of the value of this. One of the reasons we're very excited about it is that these major corporations actually approached us because of our interest in learning and our ability to engage kids in learning. In other words, they came to us because of who we actually are. So obviously, from Dell's point of view or Walmart's point of view, our 5.6 million, you know, registered users is a drop in the bucket for the number of you know, humans they have access to. So they didn't come to us because we're one of the largest kids virtual worlds out there. They came to us specifically because of our learning focus and our ability to engage kids. And I can tell you that the 6 months that we've been interacting with, you know, both Dell and Walmart, they've been very curious about how learning potentially fits into the future of computers on the one hand, or even the future of retailing on the other hand. From our point of view, that's a very positive development. And we have since had a number of conversations with companies ranging from Konami to Crayola, as examples, who are interested in the same thing. So I think there's a change coming, and we're very happy to be in the middle of it.
Like you say, very positive attitude towards that. Let's round this interview up with just a little opportunity for you to tell us a little bit what Wyville got in the future.
Well, obviously, this connection with these corporations who will be, among other things, doing something we've never done. We've never particularly marketed ourselves. They will be marketing Wyville as part of these projects. We see, you know, probably expect rapid growth even beyond our 5.6 million users at the moment, which is great. And the nature of the conversations that we're having both at Dell and at Walmart, as well as with a number of the other corporations that are approaching us now, really do suggest that they are starting to get it, that they understand that the Internet is a place where kids engage, and that if you're going to engage them, you have to have things there that are valuable, value to them and value to their parents. And we see, as each one of these new partnerships comes in, we will continue to build out Wyville, make it a bigger, more complex, and more interesting place. And for us, that's, you know, very exciting. And it's, you know, 10 years ago when we founded the company and built Wyville, we thought eventually that people would understand the role of learning and the role of engagement through the Internet, especially with kids or even with adults, and we're starting to see that happen now. And it's very encouraging and positive, I think.
Great. Well, thanks for giving up your time to speak to ResEd, Jim. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Hello, ResEd community. This is Rick Panganiban on behalf of Global Kids. We're very excited today to be having this conversation with several different educators and one player about World of Warcraft, the MMO, massively multiplayer online role-playing game you've probably heard a lot about and probably haven't been playing yourself. So we thought we'd get in some people who have a lot of direct experience both as players and as educators. And I think we'll have some interesting insights for you today. So we are joined by Lucas Gillespie, Helga Brown, Craig Lawrence, and Bing Shao. And I think I'll just kind of go down the line and have people introduce themselves and talk a little bit about how they're thinking about World of Warcraft as a potential tool for educators to connect with young people. We'll start with Lucas. Lucas, why don't you introduce yourself?
Well, hi, I'm Lucas Gillespie. I'm the Instructional Technology Coordinator for Pender County Schools in southeastern North Carolina. We're a small, somewhat rural school district of around 8,000 students. And my primary role in the district is helping teachers integrate technology into their instruction. I'm a longtime gamer, an MMO player, was brought into MMOs by students when I first started teaching around the year 2000, 2001. And have been doing it ever since, and so that's where I'm at.
Great. And Craig, why don't you introduce yourself?
Good afternoon. I'm Craig Lawson, and I also work at within Pender County Schools at Cape Fear Middle School. I'm a 7th grade language arts teacher, and like Lucas, I've been playing games for quite a long time, since Ultima Online and EverQuest. And I believe we met back, I want to say around 2000 or so.
Yeah, that's about right.
Actually in DOC before WoW, and we've been playing at a guild. It was even before I'd moved to North Carolina. I was living in Wyoming at the time. So we've known each other for quite a long time, and I'm very looking forward to trying to integrate technology and as well as gaming into my language arts class. So I'm really excited to be here today. Thank you.
Great. I understand you guys are in the same guild. It's called Harbingers of Light. Is that right?
That's correct.
Excellent. And Helga, why don't you tell our ResEd audience a little bit about yourself?
Okay. My name is Helga Brown, and I work for Elizabeth City Pasquotank Public Schools in Elizabeth City, North Carolina. I am the Cyber Campus Coordinator, and part of my job includes teaching multimedia technology to a team of student technicians at our school. I've been in public education for 13 years. I started playing World of Warcraft with my husband as a way to learn more about gaming because I wasn't a gamer. And now I play it a lot with him. I've been playing for about 4 years. And I play on the Norgannon server, and my guild is Team Nightmare.
Great. Lastly, but not least, of course, is Bing. Bing, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Hello, everybody. My name is Bing Xiao. I'm currently a student from City College in New York, and I've been playing World of Warcraft for about 3 years now. And I believe there's great potential for World of Warcraft to be a ground for learning. And I can see that already, that we have some great people here who are already at the forefront, the educators who are making, designing all these classes. And I also written a couple of blogs along on ResEd regarding the lessons I learned from World of Warcraft. And thank you, Rick.
Yeah, so I think some of you probably in the ResEd community have already read that blog post and responded to it. So we thought it was high time that we had Bing on the actual podcast. So let's talk about World of Warcraft as a potential space for educators. Why should they be thinking about Warcraft as opposed to all these other digital tools that are out there? It sounds like several of your tech coordinators are used to different forms of media, whether it's YouTube or Flickr or all these other social networks. What is the particular strengths of Warcraft that people should be thinking about?
Well, I'll take a stab at that one. First off, World of Warcraft is a very immersive environment and highly engaging by default. You know, any good game developer is going to have to make an engaging environment to keep the players playing and thus sell more copies of the game. Blizzard has done an outstanding job of this with this game, so there's something that's incredibly engaging and immersive about the experience of playing WoW. Along those lines, there's a lot of experiences that are situated in that game that can be tied to all different forms of instruction, things about literacy. There's opportunities for mathematics, economics, science, culture. There's just a wide variety of things that can be addressed through World of Warcraft as a starting point. And you can tell that a lot. We have a lot of those things that are coming up in the wiki as far as lessons that are being developed and that sort of thing. And because it's such an immersive environment, you have to have all those pieces there to be, incredibly engaging like that. So that's why we're looking at that as a potential way of engaging student learning.
And Helga, I think you folks have been thinking about it as a tool for filmmaking. Is that right?
Yes, it's one of the available resources my students can use in my multimedia class. When we do digital pictures or video, they have the opportunity to use something like World of Warcraft or Dungeons & Dragons Online or, one of those MMOs to get screenshots. I help them find free screen capture software and help them get it in the right format so they can use our editor to combine audio and video. And I've had a couple of projects done like that in the past.
And how have you folks addressed some of the kind of negative repercussion or sort of negative impacts of gaming that are out there, either that parents might have voiced to you or that you might have seen in the public when you're trying to get this game into your schools or having young people actually play this during school time?
Well, one of the ways that we've addressed it here in Pender County Schools is when I first mentioned this idea to our instructional team at the district level, the first thing I went to them with was just to talk a little bit about the game and what it is, why it's so largely popular. And then I shared with them links to the wiki where we were beginning to collaborate with people worldwide on this and share with them a lot of the supporting research that's out there. That says that games are a valuable form of media and can definitely be used for instruction and engaging instruction. And the other aspect of it that really made it something that was an easy sell is that as all schools, we're always battling the issue of dropouts and trying to get kids to really focus on graduating and staying in school. And there's a portion of the population that student body that just doesn't have anything that really anchors them in school. You have kids who are anchored by the sports and the athletics. You have some that are anchored there and keep coming back because they're involved in student government and other clubs. But then there's just sort of this fringe crowd, these people that don't fit in anywhere else. But often, a lot of those kids are involved in gaming and virtual worlds and that sort of thing. And so that's where that's the group that we're trying to hit there. So when I presented it to the instructional team, that's sort of the avenue that I took in my presentation. And then from there, we just kind of go out and talk about, you know, throughout the whole process, this idea of transparency and being very transparent about the whole thing and very upfront with everybody involved, all the stakeholders.
Nice, nice. So it's a way to engage students who you're not necessarily going to be able to reach and through these other means because they're not involved in other kinds of extracurricular activities or they're not, you know, they're usually not going to be the ones who are engaged in the classroom necessarily, but they are going to be interested if you talk to them about having a gaming club or something like that.
Right.
And if I may, Rick, if I can just kind of add in, last year I think Lucas and I did something and a lot of my peers kind of scoffed at me. We actually opened up a chat in the classroom and actually multiple classrooms for some of my language arts students. And I did it because I felt it was kind of a necessity. Like many teachers, I felt like I was running short on time. We had a deadline to meet. My students had to get these writing portfolios done, excuse me. And I felt like that was the best tool to allow me to reach a lot of my students at once. And to help me to complete this, I could then rely on my students to collaboratively work together to complete this project. And a lot of people were really against it at first. They said the kids are just going to chat, they're going to waste time, they're going to play around. And I think that they were pleasantly surprised at the end of the year that we had more on-task behavior, I believe, because of the chat system. You know, I mean, obviously when you first start something, you know, it's kind of a sandbox and you give them that opportunity to kind of play around and get used to it. They really, I think, proved us wrong. And they really showed that they could work together and they actually got into the project and they enjoyed having a type of communication that they use outside of school to work on a school project. It made it more relevant to them.
Nice, nice. And Bing, so does this ring true for you in terms of these other forms of learning that are happening in WOW in terms of learning about math or literacy or science, or is this primarily just a fun experience for you when you're gaming?
Well, I can tell you that definitely there's a huge component to the game. You can be in the game and you have to understand how to read the quest, how to read the macros in order to have all your interfaces going correctly so you can maximize your gaming activity, I guess. And also, I know, like, it's just like any form of passion. People are passionate about bio or people are passionate about math and English, and you see this translate through other things. In my writing class, there are people who are writing about World of Warcraft, and it comes out really nicely when you see, like, you know, all the emotions are there. And my brother, he's in med school, but he wears a T-shirt that says, "I am missing WoW for this." And the thing is, he's a really good student. It's just a level of engagement to keep people doing something at all times and just engage at all levels, which makes it really, really cool. So it's fun, but it's also a huge learning experience. There's like a history component to World of Warcraft where you learn about the history of the Alliance and the Horde and how every character that you play contributes to the history, the current event that's going on. And World of Warcraft also have a lot of seasonal events that that we have in real life, like Christmas, that you see in the game as well. So there's a huge component of, yeah.
Thanks, Bing. So I'm sure there's a lot of educators from a variety of institutions who are listening to this this conversation right now and thinking, how can I possibly do this in my classroom or in my setting at a library, at a museum, at an after-school program, in a, you know, a youth center? So what kind of advice would you guys have for them as ways to get started or ways that they could start to think about using WoW?
Well, I'll go ahead and address that a little bit, and it's kind of along the lines of what we've already mentioned here. In Pender County, one of the things that we're trying to do is, and again, back to that issue of being transparent and upfront about everything, is that I'm just trying to go out and test it because it's very much, there doesn't seem to be a lot out there about other people who have tried this before, and so, I mean, it can be as simple as a few months ago, I sat down with our network admin, installed World of Warcraft on one of our typical classroom computers just to see if it would run. And then what we did, we actually looked at our network monitoring software to see what the bandwidth impact of the software was and those sorts of things. So all those kinds of things we're putting on the wiki just to share with people. And to really, that was sort of in the process when we were seeing if this was even feasible, and if it was something that we could pull off logistically with their existing infrastructure. And again, to Blizzard's credit, they've created a game that's very playable on a variety of machines, from the lower end to high end, and has a really, at least initially, what seems to be a fairly low impact on your bandwidth. So, you know, those are the kinds of things that we're looking at when we're going through our planning stages. And then the other thing is, you know, thinking about how does this engaging game, how does it affect kids, and what can we pull from it that will benefit them educationally? I think there's going to be so much learning that takes place when kids get involved that we won't even be able to document, and that we won't be able to address formally. But I think it's going to happen just from my own observations of students playing with students informally. And at the same time, we want to do some things that are more structured and formal with students, and you can see a lot of the lessons that Helga's written that are just incredible lessons that stem from experiences in World of Warcraft. So that's kind of where we're going with it, and how we're getting involved with it. And you know, it's going to be up to everybody's got different issues that they'll deal with when implementing it.
Well, I think from the classroom perspective, you know, a lot of teachers necessarily might not be working for a county where they have the kind of support that we do here in Pender County as far as bringing the technology in the classroom. But that doesn't mean that they can't bring games into the classroom. You know, I do that on a daily basis. I talk to my kids about games. I use it as examples. And really, you can bring in a piece of machinima, you know, a film developed by someone that's their age that you found on the internet. You can show that to them. I oftentimes do stuff like that, and then I break down and talk about how that relates to the curriculum from language arts perspective. We look at the elements of fiction. You know, we're thinking about characters and setting and plot. All these elements are represented in all of the major games, you know, and especially in WoW. And so you can use this to really tie into the curriculum just from a level that they're saying, hey, I'm doing this stuff outside class. My teacher knows about it. He's relaying the material to me through that, and it's really beneficial. It helps their comprehension, and it keeps their interest. It keeps them engaged. So that's kind of what I've been trying to do.
Yeah, I agree. With everything like I'm learning in class about teamwork and being passionate about any subject, these are the things that you also learn in World of Warcraft, whether it's taking a risk or like I said again, learning about teamwork and just interacting with people. These are all the skills that, you know, schools are trying to teach us, and you can easily find accessible through the game.
Excellent, excellent. So we've heard some references to this excellent wiki with all these resources. What's the URL?
The URL for the wiki is WoW in Schools. It's the WoWinSchool .pbworks.com, and you know, we're putting all of our everything's broken down there on the website. Based on, there's a section on research, so if you're looking for supporting research that supports the use of games and especially virtual worlds in the classroom, it's there. There's just some general discussion area, lessons broken down by subject area like mathematics, writing and literacy, etc. And then, of course, there's sections about where this project and similar projects have been featured in blogs and the news and that sort of thing. And ideas about glossary for people who aren't very familiar with MMOs, budgetary concerns. You know, I'm putting up what we're looking to spend to implement it here in our district with our small group that we're going to go with, and then that sort of thing. So that's where we're at.
So that sounds like a great place to start if you're thinking about using WoW in your
sure.
different learning setting. Is this wiki where you're going to get access to these lesson plans, get some of these questions answered, and connect with other people who are addressing similar concerns as yourself? I also might want to point people to ResEd's WoW group, and you can join that and connect with other ResEd community members who are either currently doing things with Warcraft or thinking about doing things in Warcraft. And I might suggest that if you have questions for Lucas, Helga, Craig, or Bing, that you post those to that group, and hopefully they can get some chance to an opportunity to answer those offline. Any other relevant URLs and videos, we will post that to ResEd.org for people who want to see, you know, Warcraft, who've never seen it before, or, you know, find out about some other educational applications that we didn't mention on this call. We are out of time, so I do want to thank our speakers for spending some time with the ResEd community about their experience with Warcraft, and Hopefully everyone out there learned a little bit and can go out there and think about how you can be integrating games like this with whatever population you're working with. So thanks to Lucas, Helga, Craig, and Bing for your time today. And until next time, this is Rick Panganiban from ResEd. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Rick.
Hey everyone, we're back for your event. First up, this looks really just awesome. It's October 1st. It's going to be a film premiere of Stories Without Borders. See ResEd calendar here for more details on this, but essentially it's sponsored by the Virtual World Story Project, and they're going to be working with a group that supports people with HIV and AIDS in Second Life, and they're creating this very innovative project to tell people stories about what it is to be living with HIV and AIDS. Again, that's October 1st. It's going to be on 12 p.m. Second Life time, and all of the details are up on ResEd.org.
Coming up in November is the Digital Is Conference from November 17th to 18th. This is sponsored by the National Writing Project. We're actually going to be doing a ResEd meetup to coincide with this education conference. So if you can't get to Philadelphia, you can still participate virtually. We'll have a couple of avenues where we'll be simulcasting, and there'll be a meetup where ResEd members can connect with each other. Here are some really cutting-edge presentations by some of the leading educators and researchers in the field of digital media and learning. So it'll be a simulcast combined with kind of a social networking activity for ResEd members. We'll be announcing more, like the platform we'll be using as we get closer to it. But definitely add that to your calendars.
So Rick, can a tweet confront hatred? Can tagging photos prevent prejudice? Or can a Facebook page promote human dignity? These are the kinds of questions that are going to be asked by the Conscious Unconference, which is about using social media for good. It's a free one-day unconference hosted by the United States Holocaust Museum and George Mason University's Center for History and New Media. It's happening in December, December 5th, from 8:30 to 5:30 at the museum in Washington, D.C. And it's going to bring people together that are interested in talking about problems, practicalities, opportunities for social media to further their missions and concern, and those that are really concerned with violence, human rights, and related issues. So looking really excited. I hope that some of us at Global Kids will be there. And if you want more information, it will be on the ResEd website. That's it for this week's calendar. If you have events that you'd like posted on ResEd, go ahead to the ResEd events listing page or send them over to resedinfo@globalkids.org. We'll make sure to post that for you. Have a great week, everyone.
Bye, guys.
All the links referenced in this podcast, as well as the full transcripts, will be available on the show notes at resed.org.